Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
What you're about to hear is a program that is geared more for parents than it is for young children. In fact, if you have any kids listening with you right now, you might want to go straight to our website at homeward.com so you can review the program on your own.
Nobody knew that I was sexually abused as a child. I kept it in.
I felt so ashamed. I was the one who was sexually abused, but I always felt like it was my fault.
I'm Jim Burns. Few things ruin lives and tear apart homes more than sexual abuse. The impact of sexual abuse, especially on children, can be devastating. Let me say it again, is devastating. My guest today on Homeward is author and educator Jan Morrison. Jan was sexually abused as a child and it almost ruined her life. Today, she's spreading the message of help and hope to sexual abuse victims all across the country, in fact, all across the world. Jan's here today on Homeward to talk about how victims of sexual abuse can heal and about how parents can help prevent sexual abuse from happening to their children. Sexual abuse is a real threat to every child, and that's why it's so important for you to stay tuned now to Homeward.
Sexual abuse is a problem in many homes, and it's a problem that more and more people are speaking out about and wanting to get help for. And today here on the Homeward broadcast, very special edition of the program, part two of Dr. Jim Burns' continuing conversation with author and speaker Jan Morrison on the subject of healing from sexual abuse. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, Roger Marsh here welcoming you to the special edition of Homeward. As you heard at the outset, this is definitely a program that's not intended for young children, and it's a program that more and more pastors and youth leaders are taking more and more seriously because of the number of kids that are coming into youth group situations and saying, there's a problem and I need help. So if that's your situation, listen carefully to the program and be listening at the end. We'll have information about some resources to help you in this area. And now here's Jim.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today is a continuing conversation, an incredible conversation with Jan Morrison. We're talking about healing from sexual abuse. Jan is the founder and the president of Tree of Rest, a nonprofit service and teaching organization that promotes healing from sexual abuse. She speaks on this subject around the country and also in Latin America. And she's an author of a great book called A Safe Place, A Guide to Living Beyond Sexual Abuse. Jan, welcome back to the program.
It's great to be back.
The whole time we were talking last time, I was feeling for the thousands and thousands of people who this is their story. It's the story that you talked about and who don't have the hope and healing. And I appreciate so much you being here because I think we can bring some hope and healing in the midst of talking about a pretty tough subject. For our listeners that didn't hear last time, go over your story just a little bit. How did you get to the place where you're now teaching about and training people and helping people who have been sexually abused?
Well, my first molester was my step-grandfather, and I was 8. And my second molester was a neighbor that my parents left me with when they went to visit a friend of theirs who had leukemia and was in the hospital. And his wife got up and went to work, and he was retired, and he got up and came and got in bed with me. And my third experience with this was when I was 40 years old, laying in my own bed in my own home, and I woke up with a man with a knife in my throat standing over my bed, and he lifted me off the bed by the hair of my head and slammed my face into the wall and threw me down the bed and put a pillow over my face and raped me. And I came out of that really with a lot of hate and anger and bitterness, as you might imagine.
Absolutely.
Set out to destroy the entire male population of the United States single-handedly. Yeah. I did not like men at all.
Sure.
But God had a way of speaking to me, and he just met me on a level that he just wouldn't let me get away with anything, wouldn't let me run away. He just kept pulling on me and pulling on me. And there weren't people around then doing this kind of thing.
Yeah, of what you're doing.
Of what I'm doing now.
Until recently, we just didn't have that much information on sexual abuse. It was happening. Of course, it's happening more now, but it was happening, but people weren't willing to talk about it.
I'm glad to hear you say that, too, because people say to me, it's not happening anymore. We're just talking about it. But that isn't true. It is happening more.
Absolutely. It's happening more, and still people aren't reporting it. I just read recently where only 1 out of 20 sexual abuse experiences is actually ever reported. So that means people are still living with this pain and this shame.
And the fear.
And the fear, sure. Now, you say in your book that that when a person is abused, it's almost as if the perpetrator gives them a bag full of garbage that they have to carry around with them possibly for the rest of their lives. Now, help us understand what's in that bag.
Shame, guilt, confusion,
sorrow,
being damaged, all those things. And it's like a garbage bag, and you throw it across your back, and then the next time it happens, because somebody notices you've got a garbage bag, you know, that the mental health field will tell you that if you take a perpetrator and put him in a room with 50 kids and only one of them's been abused, if you can find a room with 50 kids where only one of them's been abused, he'll find the abused child. And they don't understand that because they relegate this to the fact that there is a victim personality, but they're not quite sure what it is. But it's actually, I believe, it's a spiritual thing. It's the witnessing of spirits. The spirit of fear and confusion in a child that is witnesses the spirit in a person who would turn themselves over to that kind of behavior.
That's fascinating. You mentioned the word fear, and in your book you write about fear. What does it look like? How does it play out?
The first thing you're afraid of is talking. First thing you're afraid of is telling. First thing you're afraid of is that somebody will be able to tell. They'll be able to look at you and tell. I was running a group in a high school one time, and a little girl came in late for the first group, and she ran in and she said, "Oh, I'm sorry." And she started to run over to the empty chair, and she stopped about halfway around the circle, and she looked at the girls in front of her. Now, she was abused herself. That's why she was there. She looked at her and she said, "You can't be abused. We double dated Saturday night." And it was like, you know, and she was so afraid that somebody could tell it in her, but she couldn't tell it in anybody else either. Yeah. But we're so afraid of that. And then we're afraid if it's someone in our family, we're afraid of the repercussions in the family. We're afraid that we'll break up the family, because that's what the perpetrator often tells somebody, a child, if it's in the family. You know, if you tell this, you're going to break up your family. And you know what I tell kids with that? I tell them that if there's abuse in their family, if there's sexual abuse in the family, they really don't have a family. They have a box, and it says family on the outside, and it may be decorated really pretty, but in the inside, all there is broken pieces. And until they have the courage to open that box and say, "These are the pieces, we need help," then they won't ever have a family.
If a person has been abused and they do talk, it really is a courageous move on their part, isn't it?
It is. But you know what? The reason it takes so much courage is because the enemy is so against it, because he knows that's the beginning of the end for him.
Isn't that interesting? Now, when a young person, your story in many ways, when a young person is abused, is there a difference in their psyche or in their mind, in their body, between a young person and, say, somebody who's a teenager and abused?
There's a difference in trust levels. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, it's harder for a teenager to trust than it is for a really young child, because a young child hasn't gotten to the point where they pick out people they can trust. Yeah. And so they don't have to make that distinction. They don't feel betrayed by their own brain or betrayed by themselves as much as an older child does. When you're beginning to be able to pick out, okay, I trust you, I don't trust you, I like you, I don't like you, and then the person that we think we can trust and that we like does something like this, then we begin to think, well, I can't pick out who's okay.
You would just have such a hard problem, especially mm-hmm. because 80% of people are sexually abused by someone that they know or they supposedly trust or even mm-hmm. oftentimes love, because mm-hmm. it is somebody.
Or somebody that has a lot of importance in their life or control in their life.
And I've heard this so many times because of being a youth worker and talking about this subject. A young woman and sometimes a young man will say, you know, "I feel shame. I feel guilt. It was probably partly my fault. And now I even feel worse because I have to be honest with you, part of it I hated and part of it I actually kind of like because my body was going through some exciting moments." What do you say to them?
Pleasure doesn't constitute consent.
Very important.
Very, very important. Because any child who's stimulated sexually, and especially if at a young age, will begin to enjoy the stimulation, because that's the way our bodies are made. God created us that way. There's nothing wrong with enjoying stimulation. But the fact that it happened at an inappropriate time, then we feel betrayed by our bodies too. My body wouldn't even do what I wanted it to do. And then we begin to say, well, then I must have wanted this.
Wow. Listen, more to come. I want to talk about if we're in that situation or if somebody else has experienced it, or maybe even a child, what we can do to go through the process of healing. More to come on Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. We're talking with Jan Morrison, healing from sexual abuse. And you know what? There is healing. And you may even be a person who's listening today who doesn't feel like you can be healed from this process. And I want to tell you that there are thousands of people before you who have been healed by the power of God, and also the power to make some choices that are really healthy choices. So more to come on Homeward. Don't go away.
Boy, that's a tough part, Jim, I know, for people who have been victimized by sexual abuse, to think that they have any choices to begin with. I mean, they feel like the choice has been taken out of their hands. And one of the things that's so empowering about the ministry of Jan Morrison is the fact that she speaks to these women in particular all over the world. I mean, she goes to third world countries especially, where this is just an epidemic, and it gives these women hope for the fact that they've been abused. And this book, A Safe Place, is an awesome resource. And also, if you go online to homeward.com today, go to our articles and media section, you will find a number of different resources designed to help you on a lot of different levels. Probably the most basic one is, where do you start? And we have a tip sheet called Help for Where to Find Help. If you go to articles and media section at homeward.com and just type in where to find help, that tip sheet comes up, and it takes you through the process of just kind of acknowledging that there's an issue here that you need to deal with. This is a free tip sheet designed to help you get the help that you need, and you can find it at homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
But Heather, you seem upset.
It's really no big deal, Mom.
Heather, sweetheart, you can trust me.
Do you know Mr. Thompson?
Doesn't he go to our church?
Yeah. Well, sometimes I see him hanging around at school.
Does he have any children?
I'm not sure. It just feels kind of creepy to see him hanging around our school, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you told me how you're feeling, Heather. You should never be afraid to tell me anything, especially if it's something.
Parents, if your son or daughter comes to you with a situation that involves questionable behavior on the part of an adult, we'll listen to them. Your kids need to know that you'll believe them when they report questionable behavior, so never take it lightly. Your children need to know you're on their side. And for a copy of my tip sheet called 5 Tips for Preventing Child Sexual Abuse, you can go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Jan Morrison with us. We're talking about healing from sexual abuse today. Jan is the founder and the president of Tree of Rest. It's a nonprofit service and a teaching organization that promotes healing from sexual abuse. She speaks on this subject all over, and she's written a great book called A Safe Place. It's a guide for living beyond sexual abuse. It's really a hope and healing for kids. Jan, you mentioned before that you had, because of your trauma and victimization, a real hate for men, which would be very much natural. And a lot of times I hear this from both men and women, that they have some real gender confusion and some problems with, you know, either dealing with the opposite sex or whatever their situation is. How does a person overcome that? Everybody of the opposite sex isn't horrible. But in a world where you've been traumatized, how do you get past it?
And it's not just in a world where we've been traumatized. It's in today's society.
Yes.
I mean, with the feminist and the things that are going on, there's a lot going on in society. I think there are ruling powers and principalities that have really gotten some power in some of this. And it's in our society today, too. So it makes it really difficult.
How do you get past where you begin to have normal relationships? Doesn't have to be sexual, but normal relationships with and trust. How do you regain trust?
You can't trust people. Your real issue is not that you can't trust anybody, it's that you don't trust God. You don't trust God not to let this happen to you again. You don't trust God to get you through it if it does happen to you again. And trust is something that you, trust is earned. And the world doesn't know it has to earn your trust because we sort of expect trust to be just given. Forgiveness is a gift and trust is earned. And learning to forgive is the first step toward trusting.
Now, the forgiveness, I want to bring up a story and I want your input. A girl who was 15 years old comes up to me after a conference that I was speaking at, said, can we talk? And I felt it was going to be something very serious. So I actually brought another woman who was her youth pastor's wife with me. We sat on a park bench out in front of a big college. She told me the story that her stepfather had abused her sexually. He was actually in prison at the time because of this. She'd gone through the right steps, actually, toward her healing. In prison, he became a Christian, and he wanted to reconcile with her. He wanted to reconcile with the mom. He was seeking for forgiveness, and what he wanted to do was, when he got out of prison, move back into the house. The mom was saying, wow, he's saved. Everything is okay. The pastor said, fantastic. She was saying, I'm scared to death.
Yeah.
What do you say to her?
Because trust is earned. And I think if this man has had a really, truly Christian experience, the people that I've worked with, they can understand that if it's explained to him. Now, he may not have ever thought about it like that, but if someone would sit down and explain to him, you know, you're saying this, but words, actions speak louder than words. So let's have some actions outside the home until she feels safe with you being inside the home.
Right. And she may never feel safe.
Oh, I think she will.
If she's 15 and over a three-year period before she left, do you think
Not necessarily in a three-year period, she may not feel safe. But I think that there'll come a time in her life when she will be able to. It's forgiveness is like what they say, peeling the onion, and you forgive the act, and you can forgive, but you don't forget.
Right.
And so you think you remember that, and you think once you know if it happens once, well then it's not my fault. But if I say okay and it happens again, then I've got something in this. And there's also a lot of bitterness. A lot of anger because of what was taken away from you. But I do believe, I know that there are kids who now have good relationships with their perpetrators. They're people who have good relationships. But I think...
Is that the norm in your mind?
Unfortunately, no.
I was going to say, I wouldn't think it would be. It is wonderful if you hear that story and there's an incredible redemption story to that. But I would say for most people that it's not normal, or if you would, or the norm for them to have a close relationship with someone who abused
them. I don't think
there's
to have a close relationship. I think that's a real healing from God. Mm-hmm. It takes a real work from God for you to be able to trust God enough in the situation to let the situation have that kind. And most teenagers haven't gotten to that point.
No, I think...
I think that happens later in life.
Interesting. Yeah, that could be. How do we protect our kids from being sexually abused? I mean, that's like... We have moms and dads listening to this program going, oh my heavens. They're thinking about their children. I have three daughters, so they pretty much, you know, you start saying one, two, three, one of them could have a chance of being sexually abused. How do you help protect them?
Well, first of all, you listen to what they say. You talk to them a lot. Even about the things, you know, that they don't want to talk about. You have a lot of the talks. Be honest with them. If you ever experienced anything, someone exposing themselves to you or someone trying to, you know, to touch you in an inappropriate way, talk to them about it. Television programs are a good time to talk.
A great teaching
great brings,
lesson.
Brings up, you know, sit down and watch a Law and Order Special Victims Unit.
Sure.
Watch one of those and then talk about this really happens, you know, and open up a time. Let them know that no matter what they tell you, you're going to love them. No matter what they say to you, you're going to love them. And the one of the most important things is to let them tell their story without a lot of emotion from you while they're telling it.
Interruptions or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I've learned that often. We obviously need to be more suspicious in this culture, more cautious for our kids as parents with younger kids. You mentioned that one of your moments of horror was when your parents left you with a neighbor and that's when something horrible happened. What should parents do to help protect their children on that? Obviously, your parents didn't think that was going to happen when they left. We still need to sometimes have babysitters. We still need to get out. Your particular situation was they were going to a hospital. How do you do that? What does a parent do? What should they be looking for?
Well, I have a rule that this may not go over really big with people, but I have two sons, okay, and no daughters. I have a rule, no male adolescent babysitters. Mm-hmm. I like no male babysitters, period, but especially male adolescent babysitters. And the reason for that is boys are going through puberty or have all these hormones and things that they don't even intend to happen, I know have started to have happened, you know, in babysitting situations. And they weren't going out to molest a child. But everything is sexual for a boy at a certain age in their lives. And sometimes it extends for longer ages for some. And I just think that's a good rule of thumb. The other is know the family values of the child, where the child comes from. They spend a lot of time on the internet. And that sounds, but I have a lot of kids that have really gotten into some strange things on the internet.
Absolutely. The greatest users of internet pornography are boys ages 12 to 17, and they begin to act out some of the things that they see at times. That could happen. Now, I want us to leave with a message of hope. And people can heal from sexual abuse.
You are
sitting here across from me as a person who would say that you have been healed from this trauma. Is the trauma still there? Do you have to relive it? Of course.
I can say something about that.
Sure.
There's two parts to memories. That's what you see and hear and what you feel. Mm-hmm. What you see and hear is one part. I can see what was done to me in my mind's eye, but I don't have the feelings I used to have with it. I don't feel ashamed of myself. I don't feel like God doesn't love me. I don't feel like nobody else can love me. I know that I have value. I know that God uses me. I know that all those things that I never would have thought were possible in my life are possible now. So I think healing is not when you don't remember what happens. It's when it doesn't affect you like it did.
Very good. Great input. Thank you for being with us and for being honest and transparent and being a person who's making a difference on people's lives.
Thank you.
Jan Morrison with us. Thank you so much.
And that concludes Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with author and speaker and counselor Jan Morris. And I should also mention she's a survivor of sexual abuse on a couple of different occasions, the kind of abuse that no one should ever have to go through. And yet God has given her a resilient spirit. He's brought healing into her life. She's written a book about her experiences called A Safe Place. She speaks all over the world to men and women about what it's like to be a survivor and what healing from sexual abuse is all about. And Jim, I know that there are people listening right now with very, very tender hearts, and they're wondering if they can ever get past their own sexual abuse. And I think the key word for us to take away from today's program is that there is hope.
There is hope.
Yeah.
When people have been sexually abused, if they do the right things, and I want to talk about those in a minute, they get help. Again, there is a scar, and it is not easy. And my heart goes out to anybody who has struggled in this particular area, and especially some of our listeners who have never talked about it. It's time for them to get the help they need and go and talk to somebody who can help them and who can understand. You know, Jan tells it like it is,
yeah.
And I appreciate that. She had the misfortune of knowing what it's like to be victimized by sexual abuse. But she didn't let it work to just destroy everything about her,
right,
and
right.
I appreciate that. I want to give 4 points, and these are actually points that I used to just give to kids about sexual abuse, but they're very important for all of us. They're points that we as parents can give to our children if there's been sexual abuse, but it's also the important points we can give to our friends, but you know what, for many of our listeners who have been sexually abused as well. First one is simply, it's not your fault. It's the fault of the abuser. Way too many people who've been abused physically or sexually say, well, it was probably my fault. You know, I argued with my stepdad, or I must have flirted or something. You know what? When somebody abuses you sexually, it is the fault of the abuser.
Yes.
And you just can't take that on, and yet too many people do. Secondly, seek help. Do not suffer in silence. I've often said that if I had cancer and my friends around me watched me not get help, well, I would hope that they would beg me to go get help because there is healing. But
right.
if not, I'm going to die.
Right.
Well, a lot of times, emotionally, spiritually, physically, because of abuse, if we don't get the help we need, then we're going to be in big trouble. I often equate this to somebody walking down the street and someone coming with a 2x4 and just hitting you across the face. Well, if they do that, and I apologize for being so graphic, but you know, there's blood and all this stuff. But on the inside, this is what happens with sexual abuse. They don't really know it, but that's what's happened. You were walking down the street, somebody came and hit you across the face, so to speak. So you got to seek help and not suffer in silence. And the third point is simply, there is hope. When you seek help, there is hope. There are loads of people who have been abused. They have scars. They have some pain, but they also have healing. There are so many people who have been abused and yet have done the work that it takes to be helped and are now whole. They have good relationships with their spouses. They have good relationships with their kids. They made it. Jan Morrison is an example
Amen.
Of this, and there are so many other people as well. And then lastly, and this is a tough one for some people, God cares. God cares for people who have been victimized by sexual abuse. He cares for you. I oftentimes equate the fact that Jesus actually wept at the death of a friend.
Mm-hmm.
It's the shortest verse in the Bible,
right.
Jesus wept. And I think that Jesus weeps when people are abused. It's a fallen world. It's a sinful world, and people are messed up. Unfortunately, people get victimized because of that, and God cares deeply, and He says, I will never leave you or forsake you, and that's
right.
a very important promise to those who are in pain.
Mm, that is a good promise to have. Jim, today on the program, we've been talking about this topic of healing from sexual abuse. I know you recommend Jan's book, A Safe Place, and we also encourage our listeners to go back to the archives and listen to this one again. Let your friends know about this program with Dr. Jim Burns and Jan Morrison talking about healing from sexual abuse. Or get the audio CD. You can write to us at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693, or call 800-397-9725. Deb will be happy to help you when you call. Either way, if you call or write to us, we'll be happy to send you this CD as our way of thanking you for your tax-deductible donation of any amount in support of the Ministry of Homeward today. And Jim, it's always so great for us to be able to hear from our listeners.
You're exactly right. A woman named Edna wrote us, I was so moved by this. She said, Dear Homeward Ministries, today I was listening to your program, she tells us where, and the announcer said that due to budgetary reasons, your staff would soon have to make a difficult choice about stations you will continue to air the broadcast on, and that's exactly how we do that. She said, I blinked twice. She said, shame on me. She didn't need to say that. Why in the world do I take for granted that the Christian radio programs that I favor are favored by so many people that someone must be donating consistently to them?
Mm-hmm.
We are to give to God's work, and I've been getting the benefit of God's work done for free. Yet, And then she said, another shame on me. We're not really into shame here, but you know, I understand what she was saying. She said, please accept my donation of $200.
Oh, that's sweet.
I absolutely was blown away. Such a wonderful giving person. And she affirmed everybody. We read this to our board yesterday. Mm-hmm. We read it to our staff, and they really were blown away and greatly appreciated our new friend, Edna. And if you would like to give a donation to Homeward, then you can always go to our website at homeward.com, or you can actually write us at Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. And again, my thanks to Edna, but my thanks to you for listening today. Again, if we can help you at Homeward, don't hesitate to give us a call. Don't hesitate to come to our website. Till next time, I'm Jim Burns, and I appreciate you tuning in today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.